Good evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And just the truths that we've already meditated on. God is our Father. And I like that emphasis in light of what's coming up here on Father's Day. And so that's a real encouragement there. And we've been looking at the first five verses here, and we've kind of camped out on them just because I needed it. And we need to focus on this aspect of examining our hearts for a critical spirit that judges others and is not willing to acknowledge and point out the sin and deal with sin in our own lives. And so we've been dealing with that, and that there's this aspect, a very broad statement of not judging others. And I think there's an aspect in which we've qualified that to see that that is a prideful, hypocritical self-condemnation of others. And we're coming to this aspect where he places another teaching beside it that if we just had verses 1 through 5, have the full picture, the full balance of what God is telling us here. And so this lets us know that believers are also supposed to be discerning as well. And he tells us in verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And so this is an interesting passage of Scripture, a challenging one to understand. And so as we look at this, we see dogs and pigs placed together. One was a wild animal. The other was a domesticated animal that they would keep, and really wasn't something that the Jews would do, because it was an unclean animal. It was food that they weren't allowed to eat, and dogs themselves were the pictures of unclean animals. We've seen that with Jesus dealing with the woman who was coming to him wanting someone to cast out her daughter. There's this aspect of, he used that illustration of not to give to the children, to the dogs. So the distinction there is that the dogs are the Gentiles, and the children are the people of God. So this unclean, clean distinction in the Old Testament was really kind of a way to place within the field of the animal kingdom what was true in regards to people. And so there was the people of God, and there were the people who were not. And God was making that distinction. Not that God didn't love the Gentiles and want them to be a part of it, but it had to come through his way. So we see, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls. So we get a little bit of contrast here between, not contrast, but you get a little bit of helpfulness when it comes to taking what is contrast, what's placed side by side. And we have holy and pearls. So when we define what that is, holy is something that belongs to God. It's set apart for his use alone. And some have wondered if what is meant here is, when a sacrifice was given, that meat was holy to the Lord. And so dogs would have been scavengers. Those that would have been, that not pets today, they would have been seen as kind of like coyotes and things around here. You know, you just get them out of here. They're always, but they'd been in the trash and different aspects like that. So you can imagine maybe a wild dog coming up and wanting some of that meat that's being sacrificed, and how irreverent it would be to take the sacrifice, the meat there, and just cast it out for the dog to eat it. And so that would be on one level. They would have no discernment of what this is for, how inappropriate that is. And then the other aspect is pearls. And it kind of reminds you of in Proverbs, and talks about how just as a jewel in a swine's snout, so is a woman without discretion. So there's this aspect of, you know, something that's really beautiful and yet not having the knowledge of how to take care of that. And so a pig is seen in light of this as having no understanding of the value of these valuable objects. And so this is aspect of, they probably would trample them under their feet. So they're just going to walk all, they're not going to, a pig's not going to look down and see these beautiful, wonderful things and say, oh, this is great, I'm going to take care of them. He's just going to step them in the mud, all right? So very simple illustration we understand. And some have wondered if, when it says turn again and rend you, that it's coming back to the idea of the dogs. So you feed a wild dog, what's he going to do? He's going to come back to you. Whatever you feed is going to come back. And so there's an aspect, you don't give this that which is holy to the dogs, they're going to return back to you. And if you don't give them something else, what are they liable to do? Liable to attack you. Okay, so there's kind of the analogy there, I think it was going on. So that seems to make sense, though if a pig turned again on you, a pig can do some damage too, as Lance can probably attest to that. And if there were kind of more of a wild pig type idea, so that may also be a part of what's going on here. So that's kind of what it's saying. Great. What does it mean? what is God trying to teach us in this passage? And so there's a lot of different example of things have been attached to the meaning, and maybe not all of these are wrong necessarily. Some have seen it as being Gentiles, the dogs are Gentiles, the pigs aspect there, or Romans, or unbelievers, or heretics, or Christians living in sin. That which is holy, the pearls, is the gospel, or the Sermon on the Mount, or the kingdom, or God's word, or Holy Communion, giving out the Lord's Supper to those who are. And so there's a lot of, in some ways, that those things are in some application not wrong, but I think there's an aspect within the light of these, I would say, that what Jesus Christ has come is come to offer the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so the disciples are being, they're going to be sent out to deliver that message to others. And so I look at this as being more along the lines of God's word in our context here, the gospel. And when you look at the pearl in Matthew chapter 13, he's going to say it to give the parable of someone's found a great pearl of great price, and they go and search for it, and they sell all that they have till they have something that's really valuable. That's eternal life. That's entrance into the kingdom of God. And so I think all of these things are kind of bound together. So, what does this mean for us? I did look at one person, it was kind of surprising, but they said that one of the applications for this passage is that we should not give the Word of God indiscriminately to people. Shouldn't give out Bibles, because they might reject them. I think, okay. I'm thinking, Doug, you disagree with that, right? You disagree with that. All right, good, yeah. Thought you might. I thought through that and thought, well, I guess what we would go back to the parable of the sower and say that he only sowed the seed on the good ground, and when he came to the bad ground, he didn't sow any seed because he's very careful where he planted the seed. I don't know. So we've got some aspects here that says, I'm not sure if that's the application that's going on here. I think the best, and it's not, I didn't come up with this, but when I read it in a commentary and another preacher pointing it out, I felt like, yeah, this is what helps unlock this passage. And he says, okay, what if we're going to look at the example of someone, how are we going to see it played out? What did Jesus do? Does Jesus give an example of not casting his pearls before swine? Of not giving that which is holy unto the dogs. And that might be something that helped us. And so, when we look at the example of the Lord, did Jesus answer everyone's questions? No, he didn't. There were some who gave him they came and they said, we want this. And he says, I'm not going to give it to you. I think about maybe for starters, they came to him and said to him, by what authority do you do these things? Jesus, you tell us right now. And he could have turned around and said the great truth of all the gospels they're pointing to, because I am the Son of God. That's why I have the authority to cast out of the temple. Oh, they wanted him to say that. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was that from heaven or was that from men? And they're like, oh, man. If I tell him what I really think, all the people know that that's completely bogus. And I say, oh, yeah, it was just of men. There was nothing of God in that. Everybody's going to be turning around. What? I went there. I saw that. I repented. God was moving. God was working. These guys are obviously false liars. I'm like, oh, okay, we can't say that. But if we say of heaven, he's going to ask us why we never responded. Why didn't we repent at the message? Better not answer that question. They'll tell us we cannot answer. Oops, sorry about that. And he says, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. There were those that were not willing, evidently not willing to receive the truth. And Jesus did not answer. They came. The Pharisees came on one occasion and said, show us a sign that we may believe. He said, you're missing all the signs. I'm not going to show you a sign. You're going to have one sign, and that's Jonah. 3 days, 3 nights, coming out of the belly of the whale. And did they believe that sign of Jesus' resurrection? No, they didn't, because their heart was set against it. In fact, often Jesus tells us why he spoke in parables. Because people were not ready to receive it. He'd explain it to his disciples and those who wanted to know. But he spoke in stories, and those who were willing just to hear on the surface, he often responded to the Pharisees with parables. You think of the crucifixion. You find that Jesus talked with Pilate. He had a conversation with him. But when he stood with Herod, what was his response? Herod asked him lots of questions, and he didn't answer him one word. Cast not your pearls before swine. And so there's an aspect that we do need to be discerning. As believers, we need to be able to recognize and be sensitive when it comes to soul winning. I think we need to ask questions to discern. In following the leading of the Holy Spirit, but understand, where is this person coming from? What is their background? Are they interested? Is God working in their heart? Are they come just to put up an accusation? It's interesting that God does tell us that we are to respond to different people in different ways. So on some, having compassion. And by great displays, that's going to make a great difference. In others, you save with fear. I remember a man by the name of Harbaugh. He was a motorcycle rider. You know all motorcycle. No. He had the leather vest. He had the bald head. I mean, you know he's a bad dude, right? No, all these stereotypes. But he's riding along, and he was a drunkard and these type of things. And someone looked him right in the head and right in the eye and shook their finger in his face and said, "You're gonna die and burn in hell someday." That was his testimony, because it woke him up. And he came to the Lord and got saved, and he was a faithful member. I don't know if he's passed away or not, but he was an old man when I was a young kid, so probably in his 40s, something like that. So he might still be alive today, but... Yep, I'll never forget Mr. Harbaugh. He was the slickest bald head I've ever seen. I was like, wow, he always looked so shiny. Anyway, you think about the early church. What did they do? The Apostle Paul, he went to the Jews, he preached to them. I'll give you a couple references. In Acts 13, verse 46, they tell the Jews there, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you, but seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They went over here, they sought to find the good ground, and they found hard, resistant ground, and they said, we're going to go over here. Acts 18:6, it says, when they oppose themselves, man, there's another passage in Timothy that talks about people when they're rejecting God, they're opposing themselves, and blasphemed, He shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. What did Jesus tell his disciples? They will not receive you. You shake off the dust of your sandals and you move on and you keep on going. You know what? There are some from which we just have to turn away. Titus 3:10 says, A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. There are people you're going to go to and you're going to approach them and you're going to try to reason with them and they're going to rebuff you and you go back the second time and you've got no ground whatsoever. And this heretic idea is the idea of someone who's divisive and causing trouble, often in regards to false doctrine as well. You find, oh boy, leave them alone. Realize they're condemned of themselves. Acts 19:9. When divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way, that's the gospel, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. He said, all right, you guys are rejecting, you're scoffing, you're mocking. I'm no longer going to give the opportunity to you. I'm going to move over here. I'm going to work with the disciples. And one more passage just to think about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It's interesting about this verse is it uses dog and pigs in the same verse again. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There's some people, I don't think he's talking about something, in this context I know he's talking about someone who's not truly born again. Not someone who got saved and then goes back and they lose their salvation. It's someone who made a profession, who was a part of the church for a while, but then they turn around and go back to the sin and the wickedness of this world. Doesn't mean that we don't go after somebody like that. We don't try to encourage them. We don't try to admonish them, restore such a one as Galatians 6 that we looked at last time. But there is something where someone comes to a place where they just keep going back to the same sins. And you have to say, there's nothing I can do. And so there's an aspect of discernment. And I know this is not really an exciting message, but it is something that the Lord, it's not a suggestion. He says, maybe give not. He tells you, do not do it. Because if you do and you persist after those who are rejecting and rejecting, they turn again and rend you. Think about the proverb that talks about he that rebuketh a scorner getteth to himself a blot. That you go after someone and there's rejection and there's insult applied to you. And so there's an aspect that if our Lord faced this, is the servant greater than the Lord? We will experience those things as well. We ought not be shocked by that. It not to get us in. And there's an aspect we ought to grieve. And we think of the Apostle Paul. When he turned away, does that mean he didn't care about those people? And the Jews were gone away. He says, you've deemed yourself worthy of not unworthy of eternal life. You see that Romans chapter 9. Paul is grieving over those people. Wishes that he could be accursed for their sake. Oh, the love that we should have for those people. But this passage can give us some guidance. And I think there's an aspect that I'm not here to be able to tell you if this passage applies to your neighbor or to someone in your... But it is something that says, Lord, you have to seek the Lord. And say, God, lead me. Let me know. Should I go one more time? Should I continue? And we ought to be patient. But sometimes the Lord will let us know, this is someone that need to pass on and move on to someone else. And may God help us to apply this and use His Word to the perfect purpose that He has for us. All right, we'll go ahead and pass out some awards if we have some here. I believe we do. All right. We have a 300 club. participant from May, Mr. Matt Brock. Then we have a 1040 window. This pen goes to Rachel Shaner. Another 1040 window goes to Amber Lewis. Tracks to get that, and then also a Psalm 1 coin. It means Becca Wood memorized Psalm 1. All right, excellent. Excellent work. We'll go ahead and be dismissed. Our time of prayer in here, and are you in the back? So.